I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad, say the broken, ain't bad, apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, utter bad, say bad, lie bad, do bad, bread bad, it's such bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Ferrell Place, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves that fat purple haze stick at night before she goes to bed in New York City, especially the Pop-Tart haze. Check out, ooh. People dressing plastic bags, ready to travel in some kind of fashion, shake it up, stupid. All my friends come around, flat to fly to party. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain splattered all over my energy to be shaggy. Ooh, a woo woo, a woo woo. I think I might have caught something from Keith, should do that. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Ferrell. Mafia's running it, and we got Coach James Young coming up later this hour to talk NBA rack. As we speak, the Knicks are up on the Bulls, 92-80. We'll get into all the rest of the other games with Coach Young. All right, so obviously the big game is the Packers-Arizona going on right now, halftime, and the Packers lead it 10-7 as usual. Aaron Rodgers has been phenomenal, and he barely has to do anything because they're running the ball down Arizona's throat with Dylan. And whenever he throws it, he completes it and gets first down. And they were down 7-0. It didn't matter. They moved down the field, scored. And then they got a field goal after a huge mistake by Arizona on a punt. The guy touched the ball more with his finger, and the Packers recovered the ball at the 3-yard line, and they didn't score. They got a field goal from Crosby instead. They lead it 10-7. We'll get into that. Obviously, in the second half. The big story, though, is Joel Quenneville is out as coach of the Florida Panthers. As I predicted would happen on Coast to Coast and on last night's Ferrell on the Bench show all night long, Carver High and I talked about how there's no way this guy survives this because no one else has. When they got the head of the snake, Stan Bowman, Scotty's kid, that was the end of his career. And then you knew when Quenneville was meeting with Bettman that he was next. And the final piece of the puzzle is gone tonight in Sunrise, Florida, with the Florida Panthers down in South FLA. He's out. He has resigned. I actually think he did step down. He was not fired by the Panthers because This has nothing to do with the Panthers. They're undefeated. They have a really good hockey team. He was doing a great job with the Panthers. There's no doubt about it. But this isn't about how great of a coach he is. This is about how great of a liar he is. This guy has been lying for 11 years. This guy covered up, along with Stan Bowman and everybody else in the Chicago Blackhawks organization, that this guy, Kyle Beach, who didn't matter to begin with to them, he was some no-name hack that, you know, they brought up. And all I know is he got raped. And nobody did anything about it. They let this Aldrich character allegedly prance around with the Stanley Cup, get his name engraved on the Stanley Cup. We welcome all of our radio affiliates to For All on a Bench on a Thursday night. So we have seen a massive bloodletting from this story. We talked about it all night last night, at least for an hour on the radio show about Beach. Can you imagine, you know, the things that are amazing to me are that Stan Bowman lasted 11 more years in charge of the Blackhawks. He had all the cards. He had all the power. Everybody else got whacked. Everybody else got, you know, tossed out of the organization. Except the head of the snake. The guy that really, it speaks volumes to me that the top guy and the head coach continued lying for 11 years. And Joel Quenneville has been on record as saying he knew nothing about it for 11 years. And then he finally met his maker today in the league office with Gary Bettman, because Gary Bettman, the whole world knows he's full of Shaq, Quenneville, and Bowman, that they didn't know. I told you this story last night. I mean, I got to go over it again. It's real simple. Rick Pitino knew that his players were taking recruits to parties and getting them drunk and high and lit and coked up and strippers, women, sex. It was all happening. And he said, I had no idea. I never knew. Like, he didn't know he slept with that chick in the Italian restaurant. I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. And I don't believe a word that comes out of Bowman or Quenneville's mouth. When this happened originally, I never believed anybody. And now they're all finished. Their careers are over.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Mafia, I have to ask you, you know, with the whole new camera set up here now, with this camera in my face, can you actually see how yellow my teeth are?
No, we're not that close yet.
I think we're close enough to see how old I am.
Well, Ty did make a comment today when we were getting everything ready before the show on the TV side, saying that seeing the wrinkles in the forehead.
Bro, I'm like twice your age.
Well, that's just deep thoughts. It's furrowed
brow. It's so funny how everybody acts like I'm some young dude. I've been around for 40 years doing this. I'm old. I'm like, I told you today, in my front yard, did I not tell you today, I like barely play anymore. I play with all these great players on this team. And I realized that I'm just not the important piece of anything anymore. I mean, on Saturday, Sunday, nobody can stop me. I can score 1,000 points. But when I play in a league game with a bunch of really young, talented players, I play like 10, 15 minutes in the game. That's it. I don't matter. So that's when you know you're old. If you can't admit you're old, then you're an asshat. All right, here's the story. Bowman said originally in the investigation with the law firm, right? He said that Quenneville, his recollection of it was that Quenneville, after learning of the Aldrich rape allegations, shook his head and said that it was hard for the team to get to where they were in the playoffs, and they could not deal with this issue right now, and that Quenneville had previously said and been quoted multiple times saying he learned of the allegations for the first time in the summer of 21, this summer, through the media, end quote, through the media. I mean to tell you, this guy is a piece of work. I'm done with being nice. I think he's a piece of shack. I think he's a liar. I think his career is over. He will not coach again, ever. I said last night he was getting fired today, as sure as I'm sitting here, and he's done. He's out. He's finished. Resigned, fired, stepped down, let go. Any way you want to make it up, any pronouns you want to use, throw them in now. He's finished. That's the end game. Finished. You know, I think Bowman's a piece of shack too. And Scotty Bowman is probably in hiding right now on a lake somewhere in Canada in the woods, hiding from his own son and the embarrassment that he's caused his great family name, the great Hall of Fame hockey family name of Bowman, ruined by this guy in Chicago, Stan Bowman. And they had a dynasty. They had a dynasty going, winning all those cups. And I told you last night, we went through this litany of quotes from Kane and Taves, who did interviews about the situation. And both of these morons, and you heard me, both Kane and Taves are morons. They're both great hockey players. They're both dynamic, possible, without a doubt, possible Hall of Famers, which is all fine and dandy. Congratulations. They had nothing to do with this other than saying in a press conference yesterday that they think Stan Bowman is a great guy. You know, I got a problem with Derek Carr saying John Gruden, you know, despite everything, he is a great guy that I love and that I look up to. Okay, the racist, homophobic, misogynistic, $100 million man that hates blacks, hates women, hates gays. That's emphatic now. We know that. But you look up to him. Okay, well, you're a loser then, all right? So here's what I do. Well, first, let me tell you what Kane and Taves said. They thought that what happened with the organization, they have to move on. They have to rid all the people that were involved in this, and they have to move on and do the right thing. From now on, they have to do things the right way. And for the team, for the community, for players, for everyone. And I just want to say that I think that Stan Bowman is an incredible man that made a huge difference in my life. And I love him. And I look up to him, and he's a fascinating man, and I admire him. Both of them basically said the same thing, how much Stan Bowman means to them and how they think so highly of him. And I'm like sitting there going, is there anyone in the room that has the onions to just say, you know, it's just amazing to me because I always thought he was a great guy until I found out he was a piece of shack. I never knew that Coach Gruden was such a piece of shack. Boy, it sure stunned me when I found out Stan and Joel were such pieces of shack. I mean, can anyone have the stones to just come right out and say it instead of all this ass-kissing and talking about what great men they are? No, they're not. They let a player get raped and did nothing about it. And then other players got raped. I mean, what the Pharrell are we dealing with here? They had to win the Stanley Cup. That's all that mattered. We're not going to deal with this right now. We're sorry you got raped, but we don't have time for you right now. You're going to have to just forget about it. I mean, that is, to me, that's criminal. To me, it's criminal. I repeat, criminal. I think Stan Bowman and Joel Quenneville should be indicted. I mean it. I think every single person, Aldridge, everyone in the organization that had something to do with the cover-up of this kid getting raped should be indicted, and they should be sent to prison. You know, it's funny to me how no one ever does anything anymore in sports about all these people getting raped across the board. College football, gymnastics, basketball, hockey, baseball. When does it end? When does it end? I mean, it is unbelievable to me that we just constantly, it just never ends. Coaches being left in charge of children, letting them get sexually assaulted, and then coaches and doctors raping players and getting away with it for decades. Olympic coaches, Nasser, Michigan State coach Nasser, raping women. I mean, it's just truly unbelievable. Jerry Sandusky raping little boys. Joe Paterno turning the eye. You can say whatever you want to him. He's dead. Yeah, you can talk about, oh, he's just the greatest coach ever, except when he, you know, he didn't know anything about his best friend. His entire life and career was raping little boys, but he never knew anything about it. Never knew anything about it. My effing ass. He never knew anything about it. I don't listen to anyone involved in these rapes and sexual assaults and criminal behavior of the highest order. And then I got to listen to all these peons tell me about it. I didn't have any idea what was going on. Rick Pitino at Louisville, he's a liar of the most extraordinary fashion. He's on the top of the mountain for liars. This guy, I always just remember the same thing. The Italian restaurant, red and white checkered table, having sex with some chick. I mean, this guy sets the standard for lying. Meanwhile, he's coaching at Iona now. No disrespect, but it sure ain't Louisville, is it? I don't want to hear it anymore. Joel Quenneville, you're finished. You're a piece of shit. I mean, this guy, you know these guys, they get, for the rest of their life, they get like Ditka and all the rest of them. They get beers and dinner free everywhere they go. Can you imagine giving Joel Quenneville a steak and a beer at a restaurant down in Florida tonight? You know, we love you, coach. It's not your fault that Aldridge was raping players and you did nothing about it. You knew about it and lied about it for 11 years. Here, let me get you a steak and a beer. They got their ass beat. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
Pharrell with you on the bench. Knicks 104-103. Chicago in the bonus. Knicks are not in the bonus. 9.5 seconds left. Our NBA insider, Coach James Young, joins us on the radio side. We always have him on coast to coast, and we're going to start having him on both the TV and radio side throughout the NBA season. My man, how you doing, brother? What do you think of the end of this game?
Well, you know, the Knicks were doing a great job early, Scotty, but now they're doing this ISO ball, giving the ball from Randall 25 feet from the basket. I don't like it. So we'll see if they can get fouled here. They're going to get fouled twice, go to the foul line, and see if they could hold on for dear life.
What did you think of – I thought Kemba's hero ball ISO was bad, too, with Caruso all up in his grill.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the way Kemba's more of a spot shooter, three-point shooter. So if you get up on him, he doesn't really have the speed anymore, Scotty, to blow by you. That's why I figured maybe late in the game, if they wanted to play this style of ball, maybe have D-Rose in the game, because early in the game when D-Rose is getting checked by Caruso, he was absolutely torching him. So we'll see what happens here down the stretch. But it seems like Tibbs is still trying to figure out late in the fourth quarter, is it Kemba? Is it Derrick Rose? Who are you going to play at the end of the game?
So what did you think of him, Coach, the other day in the game at the Garden where Kemba had his best game and he was just on fire? He looked really good there. But I worry about his you talk about his speed. I worry about his wheels, too, but just from the knee standpoint, right?
Yeah, he doesn't have that explosiveness anymore that he had. You know, if you think of Kemba, you know, party at Kemba back in the UConn days at Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament. He doesn't have those kind of wheels anymore. You know, if you looked at the way he was scoring against Philadelphia, they were running that kind of that drop coverage. And when they were ball screening, Embiid was sitting back, so he's able to pull up and get threes. Caruso is now kind of getting up on them, and they have more of athletic big. Vucevic can move a little bit. So, you know, it seems like it's become a little bit tougher for him to come off of the screens here. So, like I said, you know, I think it's one of those things where you got to kind of play your matchups and see how the other team's playing you, and then you adjust from there.
The Bulls just stole the ball. They just stole the ball, and that is the worst call. Are you kidding me? Did you not think DeRozan just stole that ball? Didn't you think he saved it from going out of bounds? I got to see this again. I actually have to see it to believe it. I thought he saved it. Oh, his foot was out. Great call. His foot slid.
Yeah, it was close. But, you know, the thing that's weird is, you know, Tibbs isn't a great, like, set up a play out of bounds. Like, they've struggled sometimes early in the season getting the ball in bounds. Remember, they had a couple of situations like that with the Boston game where they had trouble getting the ball in bounds. So let's see what happens here. You want to get the ball to Fournier or one of these guys. Looks like Randall's going to get fouled here and go to the line, see if he can get this a three-point game. But I'll ask you this, Scotty, as a basketball guy as well. Up three, if he makes both, 5 seconds left, do you foul? Or do you let them get the shot off in three?
I mean, it's you foul him. It's that simple. You foul him, and he missed the free throw. He missed the free throw, so it doesn't matter. But I agree with you that that's a decision you got to make, and the decision is to foul. You don't let him shoot the three and tie the game and go to overtime on the road at the United Center where you're probably going to lose in overtime. I think you foul. What do you think?
No, I think you foul. And even when you're winning the game up three, you have to extend the game. You know, especially the fact that New York's any timeouts left. If it was a three-point game and you foul, you make the two free throws, you advance the ball to the front court. Now he misses both free throws, so now we're looking at a one-point game, 4.7 seconds left. I mean, you want to talk about a couple of rough ones, especially the way even though they won the Boston game, just some really poor execution by Tibbs and the New York Knicks the last 2-3 minutes of a game, up 11. To blow this game would be inexcusable.
They got outscored, what, 12-0 in the last 3 minutes, whatever it was. And then to see him miss both of those free throws is beyond me. It really is. Like, you can't knock one of those down, and you're the star of the team. You're the best player on the team. And he knocks down free throws like Embiid does, like no problem. And then he misses, he bricked both of them on the back iron. I can't even believe what I'm watching now. Coach, what do you do here if you're Chicago? You fly up the court, and who do you give the ball to? Are you going LaVine? Are you going Vuce? What are you doing?
Well, you know, they're going to probably advance the ball to the front court, you know, so they'll have the ball there at the half court line. Got 4 seconds left. That's a more than enough time. I would run it with LaVine, maybe loop him through a high screen and see if he can get to the basket and make the referees make a call. You know, he's been their best player tonight. 25 points have slowed down a little bit. So I would give it to Zach. He's your star player, and let's see if he can win it out for you.
You're right. I'm tripping that they're already in the half court. But I'm saying DeRozan now. But I would agree with you. LaVine, and you know what I think? You know, the plays we saw tonight where Randall had the ball and got all kinds of D up in his grill, and he still was able to bang down low and have a double on him and get rid of the ball to Mitchell Robinson for an easy dunk. I'm looking for that kind of play. Draw enough attention with the rock. go for it, and they blow off LaVine and take a long wing shot, and it's an air ball, game over. That was just a terribly executed play by DeMar DeRozan. Any way you slice it, they blew off LaVine, and DeRozan took the worst shot with two guys in his face imaginable, and he shoots an air ball. I mean, you got to admit, that was atrocious. You thought the Knicks execution was bad. To have that play, honestly, look how bad this is with two guys in your face.
Well, it looks like it was an option read, but let me ask you this, Scotty. You're a smart guy. You got Zach LaVine with a head full of steam out of taking the ball out of bounds. With Evan Fournier on a switch, you don't give him the ball? I would just give the ball to LaVine and just say, turn the corner and get a foul call or get something. And then the other thing is, Gerard DeRozan, you're going to shoot a double clutch. Instead of just shot faking to try to get the foul call, Barrett's smart enough to know the jump second in that case scenario. Shoot the ball right away. He was completely off balance and off rhythm. But the Knicks stole one here. And I'll tell you this, you know, this team, when the over-unders came out, you know, the Knicks were going to get kind of getting disrespected because, you know, they think they're not that good. But here's the thing about New York, and you're a New York guy. You understand this. Number one, the shot-making ability of Kemba and the shot-making ability of Fournier is a huge upgrade over Bullock and Elfrid Payton. Then you have the progression of Quick, the progression of Toppin. So, and the way Tibbs is, he's going to play and coach every game like it's game seven. So they may be a team that they still may not get out of the first round, but you still got to like their chances with their over wins because Tibbs is going to grind every game he can to win.
No doubt. And I thought Kemba shot the ball tonight, hit five threes. I thought he shot great from the floor. I thought his, you know, last shot or whatever was bunk, but he had a really good night. You're right about Fournier. They're definitely a better shooting team now. I thought Peyton and the other guy, I can't even remember his name. I thought they – what was his name again? I'm tripping.
Reggie Bullock.
Bullock. And it's my fault. But Bullock, I thought Bullock and Peyton were average at best always, even when they were there. But I thought they played their ass off. I thought Bullock played his ass off for the Knicks. I'll give him that. I thought Elfrid Payton worried too much about his minutes and his burn and like he mattered or something. I thought he had a couple of good games for the Knicks, one handful. But I think already I've seen Fournier and Kemba have better games in 3 weeks than those guys had the whole season. They're a better team. I think they're going to win the first round this year. They were a four last year. I think this year they can be a three, and I think they're going to win a first-round playoff series. And I think it's because if they play the same type of defense that they did last year, which they are this year, just as intense for four quarters, and then you have a motion offense that moves the rock, and that you have shooters from the outside, and you have bangers inside, you have shot-blocking ability with Mitchell, and then you have the ability to see Randle, instead of taking bad shots like tonight, feed it off to Mitchell for the easy dunk. Start using your teammates more. Start getting everyone involved. D-Rose, quickly, everyone on the team gets involved. Taj, get everybody involved. A piece here, a piece there, four here, six there, two there. You know, use your fouls. Be a complete team, both ends of the floor. They look like that to me right now, early on. And that means I think they advanced past the first round where last year they laid an egg. I'll give you that. When we come back, I want to talk to you about what the problem is with the Nets, because I think the Knicks are the better team in New York right now for sure. And I want to see what you think of Harden's problems. And if it's just the hamstring recovery, not playing, being out of shape, being fat, or is it the fouls he's not getting, the rule changes in the NBA, all of that I want to get into. I want to talk to you about the Lakers problems. And it's not just that they lost to the Thunder at the Chesapeake. There's something else wrong there. You know it. I want to talk to you about Ja Morant. I want to talk to you about Edwards. I want to talk to you about Luka. I want to talk to you about Chauncey. I want to talk to you about Fox and Barnes. We're doing it all with Coach Young on a bench.
you're living through a revolution. Sports gaming is sweeping the country.
You can feel it.
Soon you'll be drowning in noise from posers and wannabes.
They have noise.
We have analysis and expert information.
Stick with who you know.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So Tanyan just had a huge catch from Rodgers, big gainer. They're in the basically in the red zone at the 21 of Arizona, up 17-14 on the Cardinals. They were up 17-7. Connor scored, made it 17-14. Rodgers on the move again, as usual. You cannot give this guy points. You cannot give this guy 6.5 points anywhere ever in a playoff game, home, road, Super Bowl. You cannot give that dude points. All right, I got a lot of things I want to talk about with Coach Young, so we'll hit everything for a minute or two, all these topics, and go through several of them. First, your thoughts on Harden's problems with the Nets, because I think his struggles are leading, frankly, to their struggles. I mean, they have all these guys that can play. Durant, Harris hits tons of threes in a regular season. In the playoffs, he was a ghost. And they got Patty Mills now. They got Aldridge. They got Millsap. They got all these guys. But they look terrible.
No, they don't. They look disjointed. And it just looks like James is just not into it. I don't know if he's just still, like you said, recovering from the hamstring. He's not in shape. He hasn't signed this contract extension, which, you know, became a little bit of news in New York City. But, you know, not major news. But the key thing is, Scotty, is, you know, he's shooting only 33% from three, 36% from the floor. So, you know, those are not James Harden-esque numbers. And if you're not going to have Kyrie, then James Harden's got to be playoff, you know, MVP-style James Harden, and not the James Harden that started out the season. So you're right. You made a really good comment. You know, the Knicks right now are playing better basketball in New York City than the Nets are, because I also think it's because they're relying on their depth, and it's become more of the sum of their parts rather than the one or two stars. So I do think they got to get better. You know, Joe Harris has got to shoot better than 37.5% from three. I know, you know, Aldridge has given him something. You know, Blake Griffin, I mean, Lord have mercy, you know. You know, he was, you thought he was a little bit of a reclamation project. I mean, Blake Griffin's getting you 4.5 points and 5.3 rebounds. So, you know, and one more thing, Scotty, with the Nets real quick. I think they're going to miss Jeff Green. I thought Jeff Green really good player for them, role player. I thought he was a sneaky good signing with Denver. And I think you traded off Jeff Green for Paul Millsap. It's like trading a Ferrari for a Ford.
Yeah, you know, that's the best thing I think I've heard in a month. You're right. I have said the exact same thing about Jeff Green. When I talk about that Denver team, I love Gordon. I love Porter. I like Joker, that length and size and really body banging players that can flat out play. Flyers too. Like Porter can go up and down. So can Gordon. And then you got the banger and Joker. But you add Jeff Green, who does everything well. Both ends of the floor, and is a leader, a veteran, knows how to calm young players, everything else. And they're not even playing with Murray. Imagine when they get that guy back, how good that team could be. I like Barton's game. I think he's sneaky good. And I think that's a team I really like. The Jazz are the epitome of greatness all year, every year. You go watch them win every night, and then they're an automatic end. It's a disaster. It's a train derailment in the playoffs. But let me ask you about the Lakers, because I want to compare it to this. So everyone mocked them because they're old, and they got all these old players. But I see a lot of guys that have a massive game and experience. And then they got enough of them that they can actually put a bunch of guys on the floor and I think get good burn and win games and be dangerous. I'm on a team. The exact opposite thing has happened. What I have a great team I'm playing on, right? And this is – Mavi has been on this team. We've been in 18 championships. We've won a bunch of titles. We're really good. But now I'm the old guy. I'm 56. I mean, I can score from anywhere on anybody, any day, any game, anywhere, against anyone. It doesn't matter. And they all know it. But now I'm on this team, Coach, where I'm playing with all these young studs. They're all in their, you know, mid to late 20s. And I'm going 6'7", 280, 6'5", 250, 6'4", 220, 6'3 and a half, 220, 6'2 shooter, and two really good guards, an old guy, Savvy, and a young guy, Lightning Bolt, and we're unbeatable. And I'm down to playing 10, 15 max a game, where I used to play 30, and everybody's like, come in, why aren't you playing? And I'm like, bro, my day's long gone on this team. I want these young guns and flyers to, you know, kill it and win games for us. I'm about winning. And I realize that I'm old now, 56, and running up and down an NBA court for 30 minutes is not my idea of fun. I like playing, but I don't like breathing like I'm going to die. So my point is this. I gave up thinking I matter anymore. I just want to contribute and win and get, you know, I have three or four buckets a game. I get involved. I swat shots. I rebound. I come out. I let young kids play. The Lakers have all these old dudes and they can't get out of their own way. You've seen this before. Sometimes you have to realize who you are and what your game is anymore. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think, listen, they got some young kids that I think they got to play a little bit now. One guy that I think was a secret signing is I love Malik Monk as a signing for the Lakers. Because he's athletic, he could defend Scotty, but what is the other thing he can do that a lot of these other guys that can't surround the ball, surround what LeBron can't do? He could shoot. So the Malik Monk, I feel, fits him. When they get the Nun kid back from Miami, he's going to help them. But when you got, right now, you know, AD playing 38 minutes, LeBron 38 minutes, Westbrook 37 minutes, Carmelo 28 minutes. Let's get some of these young guys. Let's get Malik Monk going. Now he started the last two games. Get him more playing time. The kid Reeves from Oklahoma, actually he was part of that little run that they made against San Antonio a couple of nights ago. I was on with Dane and Scott, and I told them, you know, when they were down 10, hey, listen, they're going to make a run here because they're going to play some of these younger guys and they're going to defend. And I think that's the other thing is, let's be honest, on the perimeter, who's the defender? I mean, who's going to lock somebody up? Who's going to lock up Curry? Who's going to lock up Ja Morant? Who's going to lock up Dame Time? Who's going to lock up Devin Booker? Who is your defensive stopper on that team? That's why I think guys like Nunn and Monk got to get more playing time. And then you'll probably see the Lakers, probably when they get to like Christmas, they'll start to hit their stride. But they're kind of like the flip side of the Knicks, where they may give these guys games off. They just want to get into the playoffs. So a team like the Lakers, before the season started, it probably would have been smart for you to maybe look at taking the under in regards to wins.
Do you think that Coach James Young with us, regular on the bench and on Coast to Coast and on Sports Grid, tons of shows, badass. So do you think that, like, because I've been selling Ja, Luka, and Edwards as my choices for, you know, not only the most exciting guys in the league, the future of the league, the faces of the league. And I think for my money, and I know everyone says I'm crazy, but like MVP talk for me. I mean, I think any of those three could win it. I think what Ja does for the Grizzlies is unmatchable every night. He's like a machine. He's a reason to buy a ticket. Luka, if the Mavericks didn't have him, they wouldn't even win 35 games. And then I think Anthony Edwards, I couldn't believe they won in Milwaukee. And I thought he was a stud last year. And I think now he's just a mother Pharreller. The guy's turning into an absolute dog and he can dominate a game. Are these young guns taking over the NBA?
I absolutely think they do. I think right now, I think Ja's MVP right now. I mean, the guy's getting 31 points and 8-9 assists a game. And that's a team that's going to be really good. That's a team, if, speaking of young guns, if they can get Jaren Jackson right and keep him healthy as that stretch five and make that big boy go down low a little bit, the way he could rebound and run the floor, they're a very, very good team. Minnesota, sneaky team to get into that playing game because you got their little version of the big three, you know, with Cat Anthony Edwards, and D'Angelo. That's a good little young mix that can maybe sneak into that 9-10 spot in the playoffs, because I'm not feeling some of those other teams. And you're right. Forget 35 wins, Scotty. I don't think they win 25 games if Luka is not on that team. I mean, who's your guy? Porzingis? I mean, we saw what he did in New York. I mean, a piece of paper is tougher than that guy. And then you got to look at Tim Hardaway Jr. as your next scorer. So I do think, you know, the Ja Morants, the Cats, you know, these young guys, Tatum, if he would ever just put it together, Trae Young, you know, these guys, even a Miles Bridges in Charlotte, these are some that are, this is the future of the NBA. With these young fellas playing.
What do you think of Fox playing with Barnes and company in Sacramento? Because I think they're fun too. Like that win last night in the Valley was crazy. That fall away bomb 35 footer on the deep wing over by the sideline. He could have drank some lady's beer.
Oh, he probably was drinking his beer. And if I was him, if I hit that shot, I would have took someone's beer and started drinking it my darn self. But if you look at it, you know, when they drafted Davion Mitchell, I'm not going to lie, Scotty, I was like, what in the hell? I mean, Sacramento, if there's a team that does some stupid stuff, you always look at Sacramento as that team. But, you know, 2-2 out in the loaded West. But, I mean, out of all these guys, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield's hitting shots, you got Holmes, Halliburton, you know, Davion's getting 8 points a game off the bench. The story of one of the big stories of the early NBA season is Harrison Barnes. Holy Christ! I mean, the guy's getting 27 and 10. Harrison Barnes. You know, so here's a guy that is going to be really good and it's going to help them. But then here's the thing. If he puts up good stats and they fall off the wagon and they're looking at the lottery, maybe that guy becomes a trade chip and he can go somewhere else and help a contender down the stretch.
No doubt. I got 1 minute. What do you think of the job that Chauncey has in front of him? Not how he's doing, because there's no sample size yet after 2 weeks, but what kind of a job has he gotten himself into?
I think he's got himself into a tough situation. You know, you saw how people have pulled out of that job off the jump. And, you know, listen, every time that they have a poor game, you're going to start to hear the whispers about what's going on with Dame Time. Are you going to get rid of him? Are you going to trade him? What's going on? Right now, McCollum is playing exceptionally well, scoring about 27 points a game. But how about Damian Lillard first 4 games? Scotty, 17% from 3. I mean, this is one of the best cold-blooded snipers in the game right now. Now, I will go on a tangent and say he shouldn't have been one of the top 75 players of all time. I will say that. But Dame is one of those guys that he's not playing well. So I really got to see what happens with Portland. But I think Chauncey's in for the long haul. But I do think Dame's going to get moved. But it's probably going to be at the end of the season.
All right, Coach, killer stuff tonight. Blast always talking NBA Rack with you. You know we'll catch up soon, my man. Have a great Pharrelloween weekend, bro.
Bro, let's hit some bets. Hey, go New York, go New York, go. Bing bong.
My man, Coach Young, styling on the bench. That's the problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
I'm telling you, Arizona's toast in this game, if you ask me. It's so obvious when I'm watching it that the Packers are dominating the game defensively. They're giving Kyler Murray nothing. He can't do anything against them. He's, I mean, really, honestly, they when they were down 17-7, they got the Connor touchdown, and now he just missed a bomb to Kirk, overthrew him. Now it's 4th and 1. I won't be surprised they screw this up, but they got the first down. But every single play is a struggle. Every single, you know, 4 downs is just a struggle to get a first down. I mean, they can't do anything against this defense, which is amazing to me because they had both of their top corners out, and they have dominated this game defensively. Offensively, they didn't have any receivers at all, but I never doubted Aaron Rodgers that he can beat anybody anywhere, any day, anytime. But I'll tell you this. I never once said ever that the Arizona Cardinals would win the Super Bowl. I said they'd win the West. I said they would win the NFC West. That was what I said on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on a Bench. I stand by that. I still think they'll win the West. But I said today on Coast to Coast, the Packers will beat them in a playoff game. So will the Bucks. But tonight, I'm surprised at how badly they're kicking their ass. I mean, they really are. First of all, it doesn't even matter if Arizona scores, because I think Green Bay is going to keep scoring in this game. They already got 24. I think they're gonna go in the end zone again, because Rodgers is doing whatever he wants to him. It's for on a bench.
I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.